It's official. Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks will be live at the Crescent Hotel for one night only, August 11th, 2019 at 7 p.m. And you are invited. I'm Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, and I can't wait to meet you at the Crescent Hotel this August 11th for an awesome night of ghost stories. We're going to have a lot of fun at the Crescent Hotel that night as we record an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live. The stories on this episode come from you guys, the audience, live at the Crescent. Then it's a live episode of The Grave Talks as we talk with Crescent historian and paranormal investigator Keith Scales. We'll learn all about the history of the hotel, how it came to be, why it's haunted today, what goes on at the haunted Crescent Hotel, and allow you guys to ask your questions as well with a live Q&A segment. It's a fun night full of ghost stories at the historic haunted Crescent Hotel, a hotel that we've had many stories from shared about over the years here on the show. Tickets are only $25 a piece and are on sale now. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click on the Live at the Crescent Hotel banner to purchase yours. They are very limited, though, and when they are gone, they are gone. Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, August 11th, 2019. Get your tickets now at realghoststoriesonline.com. The following is an encore presentation of Real Ghost Stories Online. In other words, a vintage episode from several years back. We needed to take a quick little break and catch our breath. We'll be back again next week with brand new episodes of the show. EPPs, you get a brand new EPP this week, as always. We never take a break from those. So if you're craving brand new material, become an EPP, extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com. Or patreon.com/realghoststories. Hope you enjoy this vintage episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And that indeed it is. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again. Hello, and how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing doing wonderfully because you know what?
You've got
your... Don't say what it is.
Okay.
Don't say what it is yet. This is a delicious treat here. Let's play a round of What's Tony Shaking? Ah, caller number 24 to the Kiss Lines wins nothing. What do you think it is?
I know what it is.
Freeze? What makes everything freeze-dried so delicious? When you freeze-dry food, it just makes it delectable.
I don't know. And of all things to have freeze-dried, this is the one you ordered.
I know. We got it like in a snack mix recently. I said, that's delicious. I wonder if I can just buy a big thing of that. Freeze-dried corn, kids.
Yep,
I'm like a reindeer.
Yeah, it looks like reindeer food.
It really kind of does. Anyhow, it's my little healthy snack, and it is delicious. It's great for listening to ghost stories with. It just makes everything that much spookier. I don't know why, but anyhow. Today's episode, a bunch of calls. It's open lines, 855-853-4802. Of course, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Of course, you can also write it on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get your stories to us here on the show. Let's kick things off today with a call from Megan. Hi, Megan.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Megan. I just called a couple minutes ago and told you a story. And I just realized, like, I feel like I was rushed and nervous, way more nervous than I imagined I would be, because actually this was kind of intimidating. But I feel like I should just call and maybe you can use this one instead if you do happen to use this on the air. To be clear, I grew up in a small town that had a historic district, and my grandmother lived in a house on that road. They had bought it, I think, in the mid-80s, kind of flipped it, and then raised their children there, which happened to be my mom. She was one of them. And I was always over there. I basically lived there. I would consider that, you know, kind of my childhood home as well. And the house next door, it was an old lady named Mrs. Jackson, whose husband had passed away years before. She and my ma'am, who is my grandmother, that's what I call her, had a really good relationship. They were good friends. And it got to the point where Mrs. Jackson just got too old and had, you know, she needed more help than she was able to get from her two sons. So they sent her in to live in a nursing home. Well, when they did that, the two sons came to my grandmother and asked, would she be willing to come and check the mail and bring it in every afternoon? And my mom was glad to do so. This house was built probably in the early 1900s. I'm thinking it was 1902. I think I remember the historic plaque saying that. So this is really old. Lots of families lived there. The people who built it and lived in it first were obviously dead. So there's no telling, you know, how many spirits are in this house. But I definitely think that Miss Jackson's husband lived there. But when my mams would come over every afternoon and put the mail inside, she would always make sure to lock it up. And she would check around and make sure that, you know, no windows or doors had been opened that weren't supposed to be open, just to kind of make sure that the house was being kept safe. One afternoon, I was visiting with my grandmother, and she went over to Mrs. Jackson's house to bring the mail in. And when she returned, she looked concerned and just kind of confused. And I asked her what was wrong, and she said that the front door creaked open before she even touched the doorknob. When she went to reach and open it, it just kind of creaked open on its own. And it creeped her out, but she kind of, you know, she's a skeptic, so she pretty much thought that she forgot to lock it the day before, which worried her because she didn't want to be responsible for something, you know, someone breaking in or coming in and stealing things. So she said that this particular afternoon she made sure to lock it and double check that it had been locked, and, you know, made sure there wasn't anything in the way of the door that would keep it from closing all the way. So she came back over and whatever, that was that. Well, a couple more days go by, and apparently this had been going on. This had happened a couple more times where she came up to the front door and it just creaked open. So my mom and I, who love ghost stories, we totally believe in ghosts. We've had some encounters with, you know, supernatural things, but I've never seen anything with my own eyes until this evening that we were spending with my grandma. We decided to go on a walk because my grandma had two dogs and she always took them for an evening stroll after dinner. Well, my mom and I, we told my grandmother, we're like, we are going to go up and see if the door opens for us. We know it's haunted. We've always had a weird feeling in that house. You know, we just wanted to creep her out and mess with her. So she was like, you guys are crazy, but whatever. So we're walking past the house and my mom and I turn left to go down the walkway and we get to the front door and it doesn't creak open. So we're like, oh man. So we decide to knock on the door and see if the ghost will open the door for us, because maybe we just needed to knock and make them let us in. Well, nothing happened. And we were like, dang, that's disappointing. We wanted to get spooked out. So right about the time we decide to turn around and walk back to my mam's, we noticed that the window that was to the left of the door had a lace curtain hanging, and the lace curtain had been pushed back, kind of like a hand was holding it to peek out the window and see who was there. And we saw it from the beginning to the end. We saw the window open, and then we saw the hand or whatever it was let go, and the curtain kind of swung back and swayed a little bit. So it definitely had been moved. We weren't crazy because I saw it, my mother saw it, and then my grandmother, who's a skeptic, saw it. And we screamed, ran down the walkway back to my mam's, and we were like, did you see that? And she was like, I did. She's like, you guys are crazy. It can't be haunted. And to this day, she still doesn't want to admit, you know, that it's haunted, but she has no other explanation for it, which is kind of funny. So at this point, I think it's just pride holding her back. But anyways, that's my story. The first thing I saw with my own eyes. I'm so sorry I'm a bad storyteller. I think the first one was worse, so please play this if you decide to play one of them. I hope you guys have had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and hopefully I'll call back with some more stories later on after I practice. All right, have a good day. Bye.
Sorry, Miss Jackson. Woo, I am for real.
Okay.
Remember that song?
Yes, I do remember that.
When I heard Miss Jackson, like, that was a song, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And now it sounds like she's haunting a house.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's pretty evident they saw a ghost, and I think it's funny that the grandmother still doesn't want to acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pretty hard when you see a hand moving curtains and the doors opening on its own to just pretend that didn't happen.
Sometimes, dependent on, you know, your belief structure and such and what you want to deal with,
mm-hmm.
it's better just to keep it that way. Be like, nope, not a ghost. That was a rat. That was a possum. That was anything you can conjure up to make it not as bad as admitting it might be a ghost.
I just cannot bullshit myself. So that's why I can't understand people that are able to do that.
I wish I had that skill.
Yeah.
I really do, because the world would be such a more pleasant place.
Yeah.
You could just believe whatever bullshit you make up. Like, oh, yep, that's true. And then just keep moving on down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that doesn't work so well. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And it doesn't sound like it's anything malevolent or anything really negative here. I'm thinking it's just, it's trying to communicate. It's trying to let them know, hey, I'm out here.
Yeah.
I think that's really all that it's trying to do. So, anyway, good story. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802, of course, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to another caller, Kelly in Ohio. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Kelly from Ohio. Love your show. Have been listening to you since September. And it's just triggering a whole lot of memories of different things that I went through when I was a kid and a teenager, and lots of memories coming back. But I decided that I would like to share with you about an experience that I had in the previous house where I lived. I lived there with my ex-husband, and when we were dating, he moved back into the house. He'd had the house. He was actually divorced before. Then regained the house, and the first time that I went over there to see him, I just noticed there was something different about him. I don't know. Like, he just seemed, I don't know, kind of darker. His temper was really short. All he wanted to do was just work on the house, and he just, I don't know, his whole personality changed. And then it got better for a while. And so we ended up, and probably about 4 or 5 months into living in the house, I would wake up just bolt upright in bed and see a black shadow figure of a person. And I can't tell you if it was a man or a woman. I really couldn't tell. At the end of the bed. And I would scream. I mean, it would startle me because it would be there, you know, for a few minutes. And it would wake him up, and he'd be like, you're fine, you're fine. I'd be like, don't you see it? Don't you see it? So this happened so many nights in a row that I finally was like, well, I'm going to start looking at the clock and see what time it is that this is happening. And sure enough, every night it was at like 3:31 a.m. And it got to the point where I was just so used to it, I would look at the clock, double check, and I'd see this person, and it would freak me out. Of course, I stopped screaming after a while because I just, you know, came to expect it, but it's very startling. And the last time that it happened, it really frightened me. He sat up, and this figure, instead of just standing there at the end of the bed and then disappearing, it actually walked out of the room and down the hallway, and I could actually see it leave the room. And I just couldn't believe that he couldn't see this. You know, it was the strangest thing ever. So after I saw that figure walk away, I never saw it again in the house. And unfortunately, he started to just become meaner and nastier, and his whole personality changed. My family noticed, my friends noticed, and eventually, you know, kind of ended in the demise of our relationship. But I don't know. either something was wrong with that house, or maybe something was looking out for me. So I would like to get your take on that. I've never experienced it again anywhere else, but he just changed so tremendously that, you know, I thought, man, there's just, and that's two failed marriages for him in that house at this point. So very, very strange. So anyway, I'd love to hear what you think about it. Hope to hear my story broadcasted. Definitely going to become an EPP listener. I'm quite addicted to your show. So you guys have a great day and a happy Thanksgiving. Thanks so much. Bye.
Thanks for your call, Kelly, and thank you for becoming an EPP and helping to keep this this show on the air. Do you think that something good can make something bad for the good of someone else? Get what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Probably.
You know, where she hinted at maybe something was looking out for her, you know, to drive her out of there, to drive her out of that relationship. Now, it's not so good for the one person who's, you know, going through that.
Sure, if the it's one being manipulated.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, but if there's some other force, something else that whatever the case may be, whatever the reason may be for doing it, knew that that was not a good relationship for her to be in, even when the person was not bad.
Okay.
Just wasn't. It knew somewhere down the line something wasn't going to be right.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way to drive them apart is to make the one person bad, essentially, and break them apart.
You could look at it that way. I could see that as a protective type thing, mm-hmm. but I really, if he's not behaving that same way in the house,
yeah.
or outside of the house, it's only in the house
sure.
that he's got that behavior, and that's the problem. How is that really protecting her from anything if there's not an underlying issue that's even bigger?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm thinking, like, or it knew if this path keeps going down this way, it whatever it is that's doing the manipulating knew of some other choose-your-own-adventure outcome page.
Okay.
Like, either on page 66, you're going to turn here and all shit's going to go bad, including something bad for her,
mm-hmm.
for Kelly, or you turn to page 68 over here. Now, and it's going to go bad slowly and deteriorate, but she won't be there at the time when all the other bad shit would have happened.
Sure.
I said shit a lot in one sentence.
Yeah.
Anyway, get what I'm saying?
I do get what you're saying.
It's just an odd take on it, because a lot of times when you think of something negative or someone being taken over negatively, you a lot of times think, well, I'm sorry for that person, that person is being taken over without their will, without a whole lot of forethought down the road of, is there a reason why this is happening to that person, other than that they dabble in something, or they're just a victim of something, or is this just somebody manipulating and playing, or something manipulating and playing these people to the direction it feels that they should be going in?
I see where you're coming from on that, but I really think that this is more of just something dark or negative mm-hmm. oppressing him,
sure.
and that's what's driving her away, because I don't think it's following her. Otherwise,
yeah.
it would do this to him all the time, not just within the house.
Sure.
So I kind of feel like it's just something just bad.
Sure. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting story. Thank you for calling in and sharing that experience with us. Hey, if you want to become an EPP like she was talking about, you can sign up to do that on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Get all the bonus content, all the bonus episodes every single week, and a new video feature that's coming out. We did Talking Ghosts the other week, and I've revamped it a bit to Seeing Ghosts, because we did a lot of pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really the fun part of it. Was all the pictures and some of the stories. So it's a whole other video feature. We're going to do it once a month up there on our EPP site, Seeing Ghosts. And it's the images that are sent into us through email, images that are sent into us through social media. We go through them, discuss them, take a real good look at them, zoom them up, enhance, whatever we need to do, and really take a real, real serious look at some of the photos that are sent into us. Really interesting stuff.
Yeah.
And that first episode is either up there now or is going to be up there very, very soon for Seeing Ghosts and some real creepy stuff that is on there, including an image that a little boy sees in essentially like some piece of furniture in a reflection of the glass.
Yeah.
And it's creepy.
It is, very much.
And it's one of those where you don't go, oh, I think I kind of see something. No, you see it.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it's positioned is very odd. It's just weird. And there's a big backstory to it, too. So we share that full story on there as well. So if you want that, that's an EPP exclusive in addition to all the EPP bonus episodes. So sign up to be an EPP, get that video feature, the new video features every month, our past video features and all the episodes, all the bonus episodes, 60 some already up there. So sign up realghoststoriesonline.com. Christina in Georgia, hi. Let's hear your story.
Hi, guys. My name is Christina. I'm from Atlanta. I called maybe a few months ago, maybe more than a few months ago, about my dear friend Norma. She died in my arms. Earlier this year, and I told her on her deathbed that I whispered in her ear, and her family laughed at me, that it was okay to haunt me as long as she didn't touch me. you know, although that was really cool, but I am going through a whole lot right now. My job is extremely stressful. I just, it's just the struggles of life. Everyone goes through them, and I'm just, mine's, you know, really, really tough right now. I got a 4-year-old and I'm trying to just figure life out, you know, and just to that point in my life where I'm just really confused and just, you know, I mean, everyone goes through it, I think. And I'm just like sitting in my cubicle. I work in a cubicle, and it's like super boring and you get treated like crap, you know, of course. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like trying to figure out like what am I gonna do, because all I do is just, you know, I like get questioned and I'm trying to help everyone out, and then it's not good enough, and you know, I'm just not happy, and I'm like very emotional just in my little cubicle just stressing out about everything. And all of a sudden I'm just like, you know, looking down at my phone, and all of a sudden someone put their hands on my shoulders, and I thought it was like one of my coworkers or something. And they, like, I turn around and there's no one there, but the hand is still there. It was like really weird. I was like, oh my God. Like, and you know, when someone puts their hand on your shoulder, how there's kind of sort of an imprint. Well, that was there. And the hand was still there. It was so weird. I'm wearing a jacket, so I'm not feeling it, whether it's warm or cold. But it was, like, so cool. And I just got the feeling that it was her just putting her hand on my shoulder, saying, you know, it's going to be okay, Christina. You're going to get through this. You know, I'm here for you. And it was just so cool. And, like, of course, I started crying. And I was like, oh, my God, I got to call Tony and Jenny and tell them what just happened. Because it was just, I think it was probably one of the coolest experiences. I wasn't scared. It made me happy. You know, she showed me it's going to be okay. And I don't know if it was her or not. It just, she was the first thing that came to my mind. Just, hey, it's normal, you know, like, and she was that type of person, like, very friendly, you know. She always told me before she died, it was like, 3 days before she died, like, you know, you gotta live life to the fullest, don't stress about little things, and, you know, and I think it was her. I really, really think it was her, and I just wanted to share that with you guys, and I just want to thank you guys so much for me use this outlet to tell the world about my experiences and everything. But I love you guys, y'all are awesome, and I will call in with more ghost stories. Okay, thanks.
I think that's great that you've got that confirmation that she follows you, that it wasn't just right after she died. Do you remember that story? It was way, way, way back a while ago, where it was a lady that she kind of helped take care of and she was close to that passed away. I know that sounds like about half the stories that we get.
Let's narrow that down.
I want you to know, I do remember sure. that story. And I think that's neat that you know that she still kind of watches out for you.
Yeah, I mean that's really cool, and that she's able to kind of come to her in a, you know, a time of struggle and a time of need, just to kind of give her a little bit of reassurance that, you know what, things are going to be okay. I really liked her attitude of just, you know, things are shitty, but it's, she's not the only one in the world.
Yeah.
You know, where people go through that stuff. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times people think, oh my gosh, this is so unique. No, it's not. Everyone goes through that time in their life.
Yes.
And it sucks. But you get through it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but every once in a while, it's nice to have that little bit of encouragement, mm-hmm. albeit from a ghost, to kind of help you through that. I mean, that almost makes it, I think, more powerful than just, you know, someone in the cubicle next guy. It's okay. I've been through it too. You know, it's like, here's someone who's dead.
Yeah.
They've done everything in life now. Really, literally everything. And they can even say, it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's going to be okay. So that's really cool that you know, it's kind of exchanged roles there of how she was caring for the other person and how that person in their own way is able to reach out and care for her back. So yes, very cool story. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for being a loyal listener to our show. We greatly appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Melissa. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. It's Melissa again. I've called you a few times. I've been binge listening to all your shows from the very beginning. I think I am finally caught up. I think I'm around October now. I was listening to a call that it was a caller who said that she stayed at the Congress Hotel in Chicago. And I used to work for a company that did convention planning, and we handled the hotel side of it. So we'd go on these trips, and we would tour hotels, and it was a great job. Anyway, so the Congress Hotel, I believe, is also near a hotel called Blackstone Hotel in downtown Chicago. I really cannot recall if the Blackstone is on Michigan Avenue, where the other caller was referring to with the Congress. But we were on a tour there, and we were touring the rooms. And I think there is some history at the Blackstone. I would have to Google it and see, but I seem to recall them telling us that there was some history there. Whether or not it was known to be haunted, I really don't remember. But as we were about to get on an elevator, it was myself and a couple of my coworkers, and one of my coworkers actually saw it happen. It felt like someone grabbed me from the front of my shirt, and I had like a suit on. It felt like somebody grabbed me from the front of my shirt and pulled me into the elevator. And I just thought, I didn't even know what to think. It was the strangest thing. And two of my coworkers were already on the elevator, and they said, did you feel that? Because we saw your shirt. It was like your shirt moved. And I said, yep, like somebody pulled me out of the elevator and no one was there. And then we were wrapping up the tour. We were going into the last area and we were coming off of an elevator, and something pulled me backwards, like it was going to pull me back into the elevator, essentially. And I actually felt it, and I felt it in my hair a little, and it caused me to fall. I actually fell backwards, and I've never stayed there. I don't think I would ever stay there. Whatever was there, I don't know if it had it out for me or what it was, but it was really odd. So that just jogged my memory, and I thought I would share that with you guys. And I love your show. Keep it up.
Thank you for sharing your story with us. Sometimes when you have a place that is frequently haunted,
yeah,
you have a lot of stories that come out of it where things happen, similar things happen to people. You have to kind of think, you know, it may not be that this thing necessarily has it out for anyone specific. It's just you happen to be there at that right time and it picked you at that moment.
Yes.
When you're gone, next.
Yeah, and you don't know why. There's something about you or something you give off as far as like a light or energy, mm-hmm. makes them feel like they can get the most impact by picking on you.
Yeah. And but it, I don't, after they're gone, if it doesn't follow you home, which it probably didn't, it's probably on to its next person.
Yeah.
As well. So sounds like an interesting place to stay.
Yeah.
855-853-4802, the phone number to call into Real Ghost Stories Online and share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to Jay in North Carolina. Hi, Jay.
Hello, Tony and Jenny. This is Jay from North Carolina. I am APP member, have been for a few months now. And this recently just happened to me last weekend. Me and about three of my best friends were all just sitting around on the porch at my house. And we were just bored. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. We were just bored. And my friend, which is my, we'll call my friend Jessica, her boyfriend mentioned there's this abandoned elementary school that sits out about like 30 minutes away from us. So we're like, okay, well, let's just go check it out and things. So he knows where it's at. So he rode with us and he told us like where to go and stuff. So we're going, like we're driving down the street, and it's like this, it's one of those streets that you don't want to get stuck on at night, you know? Like it's dark, it's just trees. It's like a two-way, like a two-lane road. It's dark and creepy and eerie. And it feels like one of those like Freddy type of streets, you know? So we get down there. I'm like, dude, where's the school? He's like, it's in the back of the woods. I'm like, what? You know, I'm thinking it'll be like on the street. No, the school is sat in the back of these woods. And I'm guessing it used to be like an open area. And over time, the trees just grew up around it or something. I'm going to say, I have no idea. Never heard of the school until then, but I digress. Anyways, so there's this path you turn down, and it says no trespassing, but we figure who's going to be coming down this street at this time of night. Anyway, so we go down a little path, and in the daytime you can see it from the street, but at night there was no way you could see the school. So we park, like at the, you go down one road, then you go down this other road, and it's all like a dirt road. So we parked right at like the entrance going down from the, going down to the school. So we all get in the car, we have like our flashlights and stuff. And my friend Jacob, he's like, dude, I am not going back there. It's like, I'm like, bro, come on. Don't leave, like, you can't just stay here by yourself, you know? Because it was just us four, me, Jessica, her boyfriend, Jacob, my best friend. So we're all, like, huddled together, like, walking towards this school. And it's a fairly large elementary school. I mean, and when I say it's abandoned, it is abandoned, like, graffiti and stuff. There were, like, shoes and clothes. The walls were like, it was something out of a legit horror film. If you've ever seen that movie, Grave Encounters, like it kind of reminded you of a Grave Encounters like setting. It was the most creepiest thing, and being in the middle of the woods did not make it any better. But moving on along. So we get inside and we go into the auditorium, and from the auditorium, you can see, which I guess would be the cafeteria, because it was like this like window, and then like this, like the, like you would go in line and like you get your tray and stuff, and then you come out the opposite direction. So we're walking through, and we go inside the cafeteria, and I go in and laugh because I was just looking around and stuff. And whenever I went in, you heard this loud bang, like someone has slammed this metal door. And I jumped for my entire life. And my friend Jessica was like, did you just slam the door? I'm like, no, I came through the door, and then the door slammed behind me. So already, not even 5 minutes in the place, you know, stuff starts happening, and we're like, okay, I'm getting freaked out now. We're all getting a little antsy and jittery and kind of like paranoid. So we're walking through the rest of the school, just checking stuff out. And I was walking past one of the rooms, and out of my peripheral, I could have swore I saw like someone walk through the classroom. Like they were just wandering around. So I back up to look inside, and of course there's nothing in there. But it was like, huh, okay. And my friend Jacob says, what's up? I'm like, I just thought I saw somebody else wandering around in this room. So he was like, okay, well, let me take a picture. I'm like, cool, I'll take a couple of pics and, you know, and see afterwards. So he takes a couple of pictures, and I'm walking forward, you know, wait for him. And he's like, holy shit. I'm like, dude, what? So Jessica and her boyfriend and me, y'all come back to him, and he shows us the picture he took on the phone, and in the corner, you could clearly, I mean, when I say clearly, you could clearly see this figure of this girl. She had black, long hair, like probably like a white t-shirt. Couldn't really see her legs, couldn't really see her feet, but her eyes were like this white, like this bright white, and her face was like kind of this shadowy black. It gives me the chills just thinking about it. Oh God. But you could see her like standing in the corner. Like if the teacher told you to go stand in the corner because you were being bad, that's how like it looked like she was facing the corner, but her head was toward us. It was the creepiest thing. So we went out of there, like we jetted out of there so fast, you have no idea. Like, and it was just crazy. So then we went back to the auditorium and we kind of just sat down on the stage. Some schools, like they have the stage in the auditorium, like my high school did. So we kind of sat on the edge of the stage, and I start asking questions, and I start asking questions like, you know, did you enjoy going to school here? Did you make a lot of friends here? Are your friends still here? You know, are you still here? You know, things of that nature. And my friend was recording everything. And he's like, did you hear that? I'm like, hear what? He's like, this little girl laughed. I'm like, no. So I said, Jessica, did you hear that? She's like, no. So I asked her boyfriend, Ryan. I'm like, Ryan, did you hear a girl laugh? He's like, nope. I'm like, so Jacob, what are you talking about? You know, we look at him like he is crazy. But so we continue on and stuff. And then I ask the question, am I talking to a little boy? And nothing happens. Then I ask, am I talking to a little girl? And then nothing happens. Then I ask, am I talking to a teacher? And when I ask that question, that same loud bang I heard, we all heard it. Whenever we first came in, it happened again, and we hopped off and we just ran to the car, got in the car, crunk it up, and we left. There was no way we was going to stay in there any longer. We don't know the backstory of this school, how it got abandoned, why it's abandoned, what happened in the school. We don't know. We just know it's just an abandoned elementary school. And from the looks of it and the things we heard, something bad had to have happened. I don't know, but we just kept getting this feeling of like, I wouldn't say terror or torture, but it was just the most uneasy, like, I don't know how to describe how it felt in there. Like, it was so, it wasn't somewhere you felt like a child wanted to be in terms of an elementary school. You know, it didn't seem inviting. It didn't seem, you know, cheerful or happy. It seemed like somewhere, like almost somewhere you go for punishment. You know, like this was a bad kid school. You know, like something like that. It just had this feeling of just bad, you know? And it was just like, we need to get out of here. There's things banging. We've seen a shadow girl and whatever, whatever. So I asked Jacob about the girl he heard laughing, because we didn't hear it, but clearly he did. So I had one of those like cords we hook up to your phone and then hook it up into your stereo, like the auxiliary outlet cord. So we plugged in his phone to my stereo, and we played back whenever I was asking the questions. And when I asked, what question was it? I asked, did you, you know, have friends here? You could clearly, at that moment, everybody in the car heard this. So I asked, do you have friends here? And then we heard, yeah. Clear as day. Like this little girl like laughed and said, yeah. Like, yeah. And that was it. We was like, holy shit, you know? Because I didn't hear that. Ryan didn't hear that. Jessica didn't hear that. Jacob heard it. Now we all heard it because it was on the recorder. Oh my God. Like, just talking about this, this is like, oh my God, I can't. So that happened last weekend. That was my first ever experience. And since I was a kid, I've always believed in anything paranormal. You know, I was never a skeptic about it. I always knew it was out.
And time. Ran out of time. But I think he got the story out.
I think so, too. You know, I was wondering if maybe it's not so much something that happened in the school as I wonder if, you know how we know spirits wander sometimes, if they find a place like that and they know that it's probably a safe place for them, that they're not going to get bothered or, you know, exercised out of or something.
Mm-hmm.
If they are attracted to places like that, even though they don't really have any attachment to it.
Sure.
When it was active. And maybe that's more what's going on there.
Especially if it's a mindset of a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
Too. Oh, it's a school. There's going to be friends here. You know, with our littlest one, she could care less what school she's at.
It's just a school.
It's a school, and there's kids, and kids equate friends to her, and she's just loves it. You know, you could drop her off anywhere at any school, and she'll make friends. And that's what. And so I could see if you're of a little girl, you know, mindset, and you're a ghost, school is going to be a good place to hang out
mm-hmm.
and see what happens, and wait for whatever happens. Schools are really a very creepy place, though, when they are abandoned.
Yeah,
you know, it's weird to think of them that way, because they're usually fairly cheerful, or, you know, even if you don't like school, schools still have that kind of vibe of, you know, for the most part.
Well, when you're younger, especially.
Yeah. You know, happy. Yay. You know, kids and fun and, you know, things of that nature. But the whole mood of a school dramatically changes. Once there's no one in there, there's no kids in there, and it's just been left to dilapidate for many years.
Mm-hmm.
There, I think that's one of the creepiest places to explore. There's a video that I've posted before where I wandered around one that we had in our area right before. I wandered through it while they were tearing it down, actually, because that's the only time I could find anyone near it.
Yeah.
And I got permission from the company that was tearing it down. And they said, okay, just stay in this half of the building because the other half will be collapsing today.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be fine if you just stay over there. And I took a whole bunch of pictures and video. And it's just such an odd vibe
mm-hmm.
because you can see, you know, especially in a school, there's so many structural elements to it that don't go away when people leave. Like chalkboards tend to stay. and whatever else, you know, the speakers on the wall.
Some of those hanging maps.
Yeah, stuff like that. A lot of it just stays. And you can just, you can see desks, you know, you can see and you can feel, you know, oh, this used to be a place that, you know, kids went into every day. There's plenty of people, you know, thousands of people who went through there throughout their life who have these memories of this place being the way it was. And now it's like this. And I'm probably the last person to see it before it's going to be destroyed. And it's a really weird vibe.
I bet.
I mean, you see all the, you know, the speakers on the ground, and you, I mean, and then you go back to your childhood and your, the memories you have of looking up at that speaker every morning for the announcements or when the Pledge of Allegiance comes on or whatever, you know, may have you. And there's the door number, and you think of all the kids that were looking for that number one day, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all just falling apart.
It's just so opposite of how it should be.
And yes.
I think that's the creepiest thing about it.
Yeah. One of the, I think one of the creepiest things that I saw in there was the balance beam. Remember the carpeted balance beams from gym class?
Now, why would that be the creepiest thing?
It what I can just imagine, you know, all the people that have memories of that, of playing with it, you know, in the, and it was in the gym, I think probably was also the lunchroom in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it had the big, the linoleum type floors that also had the hopscotches on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just, you have all these thoughts of, oh, this would have been fun, you know, as a kid. Your mind kind of goes back to being the kid. And it's just sitting there, and it's, it was sitting up on the counter in the kitchen, on the sink area, just propped up there, right in front of a bunch of broken windows that had, like, bullet holes and everything else through them.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's just, it's the polar opposite of what this was. It was, you know, a safe environment, excuse me, a happy environment. And now, here it is, just waiting to be destroyed.
Yeah.
Just very weird. I don't know why there's a creepiest. I don't know. I was just waiting to hear like the sounds of children laughing down the halls. And thank God there was a lot of construction equipment, you know, really nearby that was really loud and noisy. And the sounds of the walls collapsing about, you know, 30 feet the other direction from me. Maybe that drowned it out, the sound of the children laughing.
Yeah.
I can only hope, but it was an odd experience, but really, really great for taking creepy pictures. It was odd and scary, and I loved it. Let's go to Paul in Wisconsin. Hi. Again, let's try that one more time. Let's go to Paul in Wisconsin. Hello, you're on the radio.
Hey, Brewski, this is Paul from Wisconsin again. I'm just calling because I just got done listening to the gentleman named Peter who called in regarding the very real person he saw at a rest area and who vanished shortly after he saw him. And it reminded me of a friend of mine. His name was Dan. He used to work for the post office. And he would go down to Oklahoma City every so often for continuing training things. And he'd be down there for, I don't know, like a month, a couple of weeks, somewhere in that vicinity. And so he spent a lot of time down there alone. And he was going through a period where he was struggling with his faith a little bit. And one evening after his continuing training session, he went for, drove down to a park, went for a walk, and sat down on a bench, chilled out. And when he was ready to go, he was walking back to his car, reached into his pocket, and realized his keys were missing. He kind of freaked out a little bit, as anybody would. And so he started looking along the sidewalk, trying to figure out where on earth he left his keys. And he ran across this older gentleman sitting in a wheelchair. And he said, the old guy said, well, you know, if you're looking for your keys, they're on the bench that you were sitting on a little bit ago. Dan thought, man, that's weird. So he went over, started walking over to the bench, and the older gentleman said, oh, and Dan said, the Lord needs you. So right away, Dan's faced with these questions. How on earth did this guy know I'd lost my keys? How did he know my name? And how did he know to tell me this? How did he know that I was struggling with my faith? So he went over to the bench. Sure enough, the keys were there. And so he turned around to talk to the guy, and the guy was gone. Now, keep in mind, this was an open public park. There's no real brush or anywhere. And the guy was in a wheelchair, an older fellow. He couldn't have just sped off. And to this day, Dan couldn't Dan can't explain it. He's just completely nonplussed. But it just kind of surprised me at how similar the two stories are, his story and Peter's story. Hopefully it'll help Peter make sense of what happened to him. Anyway, you guys take care, and hopefully I'll be calling in one of these days with another story that happened to my wife some years ago. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you, Paul, for calling in and sharing that experience with us.
Angel or ghost? And you know, really and truly, is an angel more than just a helpful ghost?
I don't know. I mean, because you're going to have various definitions of it, where you have, you know, people, some will say, and this is all, you know, subject to however you want to view things. An angel, I think sometimes people will say is something that was never a human,
mm-hmm.
just like a demon,
mm-hmm.
But the polar opposite, you know, and can take whatever form it needs to, a little more power than I think just the average Joe ghost.
Okay.
That, like you or me, that could, if we became a ghost, you're probably limited in what we can do. There's probably a little more power that can be had if you're the angel, as far as what you're able to manipulate, control, or whatnot. So I don't know. I mean, it's very hard to tell, but it's one of those things where it was the right place, the right time, and there was a reason that obviously it came to that person at that moment in their life where they needed a little help.
Mm-hmm.
So it, you know, I think angel or ghost, it's a good question. I think for what it did for that person, it's irrelevant, you know?
Right.
It got its job done. Mm-hmm. But it's an interesting, you know, question as to what, it could be either.
Okay.
Really, I think because you may have one, either or that may be trying to deliver the same message to that individual. So thank you for sharing that story with us. Our phone number, of course, 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. And we would love also for you to help keep our show on the air, becoming an EPP. Get all the bonus episodes, get all that exclusive video content that we're putting out there for you. Lots of fun stuff. More than 60-some bonus episodes with some of the best ghost stories that we've ever heard, really. I mean, to be completely honest, it is just, it's the holy grail of ghost stories, the EPP episodes. Please sign up, enjoy those, and that's what helps keep this show on the air. It's only $5 a month, or you sign up for a full year and get a free month out of that. So it's up to you how you want to do it. Like I said, it keeps this thing on the air. Without your support, we would not exist. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.